This is Lectionary at Lunch for the Epistle Lesson for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost. And this year it is actually this coming Sunday, 4 days hence. The Epistle Lesson is Romans 13, 1 through 10, along with the Old Testament from Ezekiel 33, and also Gospel Lesson from Matthew 18. Romans 13 is a familiar text to all of us before we even read it. Romans 13 tells us about our responsibility to the government. The text speaks precisely on this, but also the text goes into the summary of the commandments, which is love, and then ends with an eschatological note. We'll get to that shortly. Verse 1 of chapter 13 of Romans. Pasa psuche exousias hyper ekousias hypotasesto ugar estin exousia eime hypotheu haide usai hypotheu tetagmenoi esen. That's verse 1. Pasa psuche. Soul, all souls, literally in the Hebraic sense, means man or mankind or all human beings, etc. That's how the text begins. So this, what is to be said here, what follows from here and on, applies to all people. That's the meaning we get from this text. Hypotasesto. Hypotasisto is third person imperative, passive. Hypotasso is to submit, so here the word means subordinate. In the passive, it actually means be subject. Ugar estin exousia, eime hypotheu. Not there is an authority except the authority that is from God. It simply means God has established the authority. In 13 verse 1, the ancient witnesses such as P46 included and various other Western texts use hypotaseste in the second person plural imperative. Then it will mean be subject to the governing authorities. Ugar estin exousia eime hypotheu. Now there is an authority except from God. Hai de usai is a feminine participle referring to the exousias, the authorities. Hypotheu tetagmenoi, that's a periphrastic usage. Tetagmena is the perfect passive of tasso, which means to order, to assign, to place something in a spot, meaning to establish an office, in this case, a government office. Authorities, therefore, are appointed or put there by God. So the summary in one verse, the translation of the first verse is, let every human being be subject to those authorities that govern them. For there is no authority except that which is from God, and the authorities that exist are put there by God. Verse 2, hoste ha anti tasamenas te exousia te tu te u. Diatage antes teken, haide antes te cortes heautos crima lempsuntai. Haste here signifies thus or accordingly, following up on verse 1, therefore, with the result that ha anti tasamenos, that's a participle. Antitasso, to oppose, to range oneself against, etc. It is actually from the opposite of hypotasso, which means to subject, to obey, to take a subordinate position, etc. The one opposing governmental authority, etc. Te exousia tu te ou dia tage. It is a decree or an ordinance. Anthes taken is from an istemi. And then the one that follows, the participle anthes ste kotes, hoi de anthes tokates is the perfect present participle. So it's anthes taken, perfect present. In its grammatical form, that is, anthes taken is in the perfect, but also has present implications. It is present in meaning. Anthes taken here means withstand or resist. Anthes te kotes is the one who is withstanding, the withstanding ones or the resisting ones. Hes krima lemsantai. Lemsantai is from lembano. In the future tense, he himself will bring judgment upon himself, or in this case, themselves. Therefore, the translation of verse 2 is, therefore, with the result that whoever opposes authority is resisting the authority established by God, and those that are resisting the authority are bringing judgment upon themselves. Verse 3. Hoi gar arkuntes uk esin phobos to agato ergo ala ta kako ergo. Teleis de me phobestai te exousian ta agaton poe ka exeis epainon ex autes. Hoigar arkuntes, the participle, arkon, the ones ruling, the ruling ones, the rulers, uk esin phobos, are, we put the R in there, are not a fear or a threat. Phobos is fear, in this case threat, in the active sense of the word. Ta agato ergo, to the one's doing good, the one doing good, or the good conductor. But Allah, on the other hand, to kako, the ones doing bad things, or the bad conductor. Teleis de mea phobestai. Phobestai is the infinitive. Do you not want to fear, that is, fear the authority, exousion? Do you not want to fear the authority, then ta agathon poe, the good thing you keep on doing, kai hexais, echo in the future tense, second person, hexais, then you will have in the future epinon, that's the word for praise or commendation or approval, ex autes. Autes is feminine, that is referring back to the exousia, which is feminine, exautes, from the authority. If you are doing good, then you do not fear the ones in authority, and you will receive praise from the those who are in positions of authority. Thus, the translation would be then for of verse 3 is, for those ruling ones are not a threat to the good workers, in the collective sense of that. To agato ergo, but to the bad workers. To the bad workers. And you do not want to fear authority, then do the good thing, and you will have, or you will find, commendation from it. Verse 3. Theyugar diakonos estin soi eis to agathon. Eande ta kakon poes phobu. Ugar eke ten makairon phobai phorai. Theyugar diakonos estin ek dikos eis orgento ta kakon prasonti. Theo ga diakonos estin soi eis ton agaton. Ega de ta kakon poes. But if you do evil, then fear. For bu is imperative. Fear it. Ugar eke ta makarian. Makarian is sword. For he wears the sword, or in this case, power. He has hold of the power for nothing. That's the warning that comes to those who are doing evil or evil doers. Therefore, the servants note that the exousia, the authorities, are placed there as God's servants, theou diakonos, servants of God, to do you good, soi eis to agathon, to do you good. That is why they are placed in authorities. To kakon prasonti, prasonti is the participle, to the ones who are doing wrong, or ta kakon prasonti would here mean the wrongdoers. Put all together, they are eis orgain, they are unto the wrath of God. Diakonos estin edikos, the government is the authority or the executor of justice for God unto those that are doing wrong things. So as final translation of verse 4 would be for it, meaning the government, it is now taken as a collective unit, government in the singular. Government therefore is a servant or an instrument of God for you unto your good. But if you do evil, be concerned, be afraid, for government, meaning it, does not bear the sword or power in vain, for it is God's agent for punishment on the ones who are doing evil. Verse 5. Dia anange hypotasestai u monon dia ten orgen ala kai dia ten sune desen. Verse 5. Dia anenke hypotasestai. Anenke. Dia, for dio, for example, here is on this account, for the reasons that are stated in verses 1 through 4 at least. On this account, anenke is anenkaso, is compel. Here it means it is necessary. We should actually need to put the st, which is missing here, to make it complete and read it as it is necessary. Hypotasestai. Hypotasestai is the word that we already met, is the infinitive passive of hypotaso, which means to subordinate. The verb has already occurred in verse 1. Umanon, not only, dia ten orgain, on account of the wrath of God, ala kai dia ten sunedesen. Sunedesis is conscience. It is actually the moral conscience or moral consciousness. Out of the 30 uses of conscience in the New Testament, 14 appear in Paul. We know that conscience can sometimes become an idol for people, especially when we do matters in politics and in government. But also, Paul also warns us and exhorts us, a weak conscience does not help us make a decision, finds it difficult to make up our minds. Paul has more than once used conscience as his witness in his apologetics as he makes the speeches in the name of the one who called him and made him an apostle. In Romans 12, verse 2, for example, Paul speaks of the renewal of the mind, a living sacrifice pleasing before God. So the renewal of the mind, therefore, as we read this text of Romans 12 2 weeks ago, as the mind is renewed by the mercies of God, one's conscience now is attuned to the way God would have the human conscience work as the redeemed child of God. Therefore, one must be subject not only because of the wrath of God, but also on account of one's conscience. Thus, the translation of verse 5. Verse 6. Dia tuto gar kai forus telaite, laitur goi gar theu. Eisin eis auto tuto pros karteruntas. On this account, pros karteruntas is the that's the participle. It means in the present tense to attend constantly to occupy oneself to. Forus is tribute. Here, actually, it is taxed. Teloforos here would be to pay taxes. Liturgos is minister. Note that this is talking about the governmental authorities. And here, too, liturgos, which for Christians has a liturgical sense or a worship sense attached to it, is here used in the secular sense of the term. Minister, liturgos is minister. He could be a public servant, as it is the case in Romans 13, or a servant of God, as we know from our ecclesiastical tradition, a minister attending to the matters of people and government in the secular realm here. Autotauto, this very thing associated with the proskarterao, proskarteruntas is the participle that we just saw, which means attending to or constantly attending to or occupying oneself with the matters. Translation, therefore, verse 6 would be, therefore you also pay taxes, for the authorities of God's ministers attending to this very thing. Verse 7, apodate pasin tas ophelas to ton foron to telos to telos to ton phobon to ten timen. As the most recent commentary on Romans, written by Alan Haltgreen, states, this is a rhetorical flourish, I'm quoting him, of 5 words in Greek and 6 in English versions. Apodate pasta ophelas, ton foron, that's 5 verses, and you have a sequence of 3 in this listing. When we translate that into English, it just is 5 verses. Okay, apodate is the aorist imperative. Apodidomi is the root of it. To give, aorist imperative is a focus on action imperative, so you better give would be the meaning of it. Pass into everyone, ophile is a due or a debt. Thus, put together, thus pay what is due. That's the meaning of the first one. Ton for on, to whom the tax is due. So pay this, and then there are the two sequences here. Ton for on, to whom the tax is due. Ton to telos, customs, to whom customs is due, or toll is due. And now the third one, to ton for bon, fear, here chiefly in the form of respect, fear, to whom fear is due. And then time, ton timen, to whom honor is due. So honor, to whom honor is due, fear, to whom fear is due, customs, to whom customs is due, and taxes, to whom taxes is due. So translation, therefore, render to everyone what you owe, what you ought to pay, taxes to whom taxes due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. And now, sequentially speaking, in verse 8. Verse 8 reads, Medeni meden ophilete eime te ta allelus agapon. Hogar agapon ton heteron nomon pepler roken. So until now, this has been pretty much secular speech, and the establishment of the government, which is actually working as an instrument of God for the sake of people and our obedience to the government as responsible citizens in any culture, any country. Now, Paul's is transitioning from there, based on that, in the next three verses, to giving a summary of what this is all about. And note, medeni meden, it just means to no one, a double negative, ophilete, ought or be in debt, eime, except to allelos agapon, except love one another. Ophilete is an imperative of ophelo, o. Agapon is the infinitive of agapao, which here actually means in mutual love. So this is the balancing of the accounts. Love, Paul would say elsewhere, is the fulfillment of the law. That's how the verse reads here. Peple roken. Translation, therefore, peplerokan is the perfect of plero'o, means to fulfill. Perfect would be as fulfilled. Translation, therefore, is owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For the person who loves ha agapon another is, has, and it's a perfect, so the person who loves another has fulfilled the law, the love commandment, as it's commonly understood. And now, verse 9, Togar uk moiku says, u ponu says, u klepsis, uk epitumeis, ka eitis hetera entele, ento logo tauto, anakephalai utai, ento agapeseis tan plesion su has seauton. Ta here, beginning at verse 9, could, as scholars observe, could mean a quotation mark, or it can also work as a definite article. So if it's a quotation mark, what what follows will be put in inverted commas, I'm referring to a quotation. If it is the other way around, as we would take to as a definite article, then it would be this way, the, meaning this well-known or the very familiar to you commandments, such as, we have four of them here, in summary fashion, moiku says, commit adultery, moikeo is the word for adultery, phoneu says, phoneo would mean murder, says from klepto means steal, epitomeo is to covet. So all these four commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, and do not covet, or thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Anakephalaio is the passive. All these are summed up. Anakephalaio. All these are summed up. Plesion in this one. Plesion is the word for neighbor. In this case, here it is used adverbially. The one who is near you, therefore the neighbor. And put together then, for these commandments, gar, u, yeah, etc., these commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, Paul here says, eis ti hetera entele, if whatever other commands might be, all these are summed up in one, this one statement. And this one is, you shall not love. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Agape says, turn plesion su hos se auton. Our responsibility to the government, our life and service in the community, all need to be directed in this, in the light of this one commandment, which is love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the fulfillment of the law, to put it in another way. That is the point of verse 10. He agape ton plesion kakon uk erga sestai. Plesion here is the neighbor. Kakon uk erga sestai. Kakon is bad or evil or harm. Erga sestai, erga zamai is to work. It does not work evil, or it does no harm. The it is he agape. Verse 10, therefore, love does not wrong the neighbor, for love is the fulfillment of the law. Love your neighbor is kind of a generic theme in any religion, but Paul puts this here in the light of this summary statement of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And we know that the fourth commandment is fundamentally the summary of Romans 13, if you will. And in this section, a summary statement of all this is given, and following verse 11 through 14, it just gives an eschatological twist, eschatological turn to the whole narrative here. The day of the Lord is drawing near. The church is given a wake-up call to wake up and to work as there would be no time to wait. Now the day is fast approaching. The day is far spent, and the night is fast approaching, when no man can work. Christians therefore must put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and will not yield to the the attempt at satisfying the desires of the flesh, but follow the path the Lord has suggested and demonstrated for his people to live here during the time that God has allowed us to live here. And here we have connecting these thoughts with the Old Testament as well as the gospel lessons here. In Ezekiel 33, the voice is coming through the prophet that there's a warning for the wicked to turn from his wicked ways. And if he does not turn from his wicked ways, he will surely die. But the prophet will also deliver his soul. Once the prophet voices the prophetic voice for correction. So Christians therefore do have, as they live in the system of government that God has established over all people, they have a responsibility to raise the voice for correction, a prophetic voice as the redeemed children of God, responsible citizens in the world. And in Matthew 18, this long text, verses 1 through 20, has several questions in it. Who is the greatest and who causes a child to sin? It is better for that person to be drowned to the depth of the sea, and so on and so on. And then it follows with the sheep gone astray and heavens rejoice in the redemption of the sheep that is brought home. And also there is that note about not despising the little ones, the little children. And the even more challenging exhortation in Matthew 18 is, if a brother sins against you, go talk with him and restore him, restore friendship and build bridges and win him back into the eternal brotherhood. Putting all those things together, the prophetic voice that the prophet raises for his people, even when the government may be working evil. And in the New Testament, God's concern for the little ones, even the little ones in faith, and his exhortation for these little ones to be restored and brought into the household and nourished in it, they all connect well with the love theme that is projected in Romans 13, albeit in the context of the governmental authorities. Love, as we know, is a challenging word for us Christians. The commandments conclude with the meaning of the commandments with conclude with the fearing and loving God in whatever we do, even in our life under the government, some of which we may not completely subscribe. But as they are put in place by God, we are bound by God's loving care for us to obey them. And within that structure, be a redeeming voice, a prophetic voice, a correcting voice. All for the sake of demonstrating that the love that God has lavished upon us on account of Jesus Christ. Christ, after all, is the arche, the power, the ruler, the authority. So in this world as we live, we go through this tension of being responsible citizens of the kingdom of God, the reign of heaven, and also taxpaying and responsible citizens of the government under which God has placed us in the countries of the world. So Romans 13, therefore, asks us to see the balancing of these two existences, citizens of heaven and citizens in this world. And we lead this life, we live this life out fully conscious and fully aware that the day is soon coming when the final manifestation, the eschatological manifestation of the reign of God in its totality will be revealed. Until that day, we work through structures, we work through institutions for the sake of having a full life here and proclaiming and witnessing to the greatest love that the world has ever known, the love that God the Father lavished upon all people through His Son, Jesus Christ, life, death, and resurrection. That's our message, and that's our comfort, and that's our confidence and foundation for our future. Thank you.